It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Pluckers and Allen, and it is awesome, baby. Got some pluckers in my belly. I'm a happy man. Been out today and tomorrow. Join me and KT out here at Pluckers and Allen. Get your lunch on, and let's do this like Brutus. We were just talking about the quarterback tiers. We'll get back into it coming up at 12:40 because there's some Dak stats that we think would really kind of advance this conversation as well. But last night was the Mavs season home opener. They won 108 to 100. And I'm looking. I got the morning news out here in front of me, Tizzle. And on the front page of the sports page, Porzingis is coming in for that dunk that really ended it. The play broke down. Jalen Brunson was dribbling in. He threw a lob up to Porzingis. He went up high and he flushed it. And they have a picture of that. And you can see how high Porzingis is getting. And
well, that's a great photo.
Yeah, you see how difficult the finish was.
Yeah.
And the headline is, sky's the limit. And then right below it, Brad Townsend wrote the article. It says, Porzingis, Doncic, fulfill expectations in opener. And I think that's an interesting thing to look at because I don't know. I know Doncic did, but I don't know if Porzingis fulfilled his own expectations. Last night after the game, we did an interview on Fox Sports Southwest, and he was kind of saying, you know, hey, this is a marathon. I need to – it was almost like the first time where I'd seen him go, man, I'm not going to come out here and drop 30 right from the get-go every night.
Yeah.
He didn't end up with a bad line at all, 23 points. He needs to rebound more than 4 rebounds. But he only did it in 29 minutes, and he was 7-16 from the floor. He'll eventually.
He started out cold.
He started out cold. And then he started getting going. He got some free throws. His first bucket was one of those where you see how difficult he is to cover. And by the way, they're replaying the game right now, where it's on at Pluckers if you want to watch it. But he was isolated, and he had Wagner on him, who's the kid people might remember, the guy from Michigan. He's 6'11",
yep,
somewhere in there. And Porzingis just, you know, faces him up, works him to the left, and then just effortlessly shoots over the top. I mean, the guy has no chance of challenging his shot.
Yeah.
And just knocks in a 12-footer so easily. And it shows you that once this thing is clicking, he is impossible for these guys out here to cover.
That's what you were talking about the whole time, and I was kind of in the boat of what I think probably a lot of
most
fans
people,
are going,
yeah, sure.
I haven't really seen him.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who are still skeptical of like what he is or what he could be. But one thing that you kept saying throughout the offseason was people are not going to be able to close out on him.
No, you can't.
And even Wagner, who's such a turd at 6'11".
Real turd-faced.
Not turd-faced. Like, he's just like – that guy is just – he's going to poke you, you know, I guess
yeah.
what I'm saying. He's you know?
He's an edgy German guy.
He's a little edgy dude. And it looked pretty effortless. So, you know, it was some of those things I look at it. It's very weird because you're playing a bad team in the Wizards who are
they suck.
Very compromised.
They suck.
Very compromised.
I mean, they're not going to be good as it is. You knew John Wall wasn't going to play this year. But even with that, they had 3 or 4 rotation guys out last
yeah.
night.
So I saw when the – I was at the Cowboy Happy Hour with the Barry Church. There's Wednesday nights at 7 on the Fan. And I, you know, just going through the tweets like Courtney Lee starting. I did not see that happening.
Okay, so that surprised me too. So here's why. You know, one of the words that you will always hear Carlisle use is force. Mm-hmm. A guy plays with force.
Yes.
So the number one guy on this team, rotation regular, that plays with force is Dwight Powell. Dwight Powell is likely your starter in most games. I think Maxey's perfect, but Dwight's great too. He's a great role guy, but he plays with force and intensity.
Yeah.
KP does not. If you watch Porzingis,
he's playing away from the basket.
He's playing away from the basket, but it's not like he's going after it with crazy aggression. Like a lot of people are tweeting, going, "Man, does he not care?" It's like that's just his style of play is kind of smooth, and he's not. But Dwight Powell's style of play is 1,000 miles an hour, launching himself like a cannonball into stuff. He plays with force. So because Dwight wasn't on the floor last night, and there's also this is a team that doesn't have a lot of veteran leadership, Barea didn't play last night, which I'm very fascinated by. But if you look at it, he started Courtney Lee, one, because he's a veteran, and two, because Courtney Lee plays with quote-unquote force. Yeah. Rick even said that before the game.
Makes sense.
And so I don't think Courtney Lee is in most situations going to be looked at as a starter. But I think for this particular situation, to set a tone at home, Rick was like, all right, let's roll Courtney out there. Now, you looked at the way all of this kind of played out. The star last night was Luka Doncic, and he was freaking incredible. He had 32 in the third quarter, all right? He took over midway through the second. I think he had 15 in the second and then carried that over into the third, and he was dominating. He was raining threes. He was going bonkers. So as the game – and let's real quickly, after the game, listen to what Porzingis had to say about his first regular season game with Luka Doncic, asking Porzingis what it was like to play with Luka.
I asked Luka this after the game. I'll ask you, what was it like playing the first regular season game with Luka Doncic?
Man, he's amazing. The things he was doing out there, I mean, he's just – kid is super talented. It's unreal, you know. And as we keep playing together, and as we get more of a feel for each other, I think we'll be capable of doing some really fun stuff out there.
If you could have seen it, his face just lit up.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys. Here's a great example too. Did you see the Tim Hardaway Jr. ankle injury last night?
I did not.
Okay, so
I get home late, so I was skimming through it to catch up.
It was in the second quarter.
Okay.
And he limped off eventually, and then he came back and played. I was impressed. Hardaway Jr. goes up to contest a shot. As he lands, the feet get tangled up. It turns hard. He goes down. The Mavericks are bringing it up, and then finally they call a timeout. When they call a timeout, Luka, who is sitting on the bench and he's put his warm-ups on, sprints to the other end of the floor and beats everybody down there, including the guys in the backcourt, the training staff. He sprinted down there. And that may sound like a little thing, but that is about engagement.
Yeah.
That is about pulling everyone together. That is about leading. There is an element to Luka Doncic's personality that I wasn't sure about, not in a bad way, but I didn't know that he would be like, I knew that his style of play would bring people together. I did not know that he would embrace the leadership role of, hey, everybody, I've got this.
Yeah.
And
hard to know.
It's hard to know. But, dude, he is embracing being the face of this franchise and making every single person feel included and feel like they're an important part
of
the team.
And look, we'll see, because things are fresh and new, you know, like losing can take some of those things away.
For sure.
And so it's hard to know. So I want to be
clear. Last year was the first year he'd ever lost.
Exactly.
Dude.
Like, yeah. I want to be clear, I'm not jumping to conclusions here, but that's something also where I think because he's so advanced for his age, because he's been playing pro ball for years, where he may understand that he needs to be that guy. So I'm not saying that he would be doing that in a genuine way,
right?
But like it's something that I'm sure that he's
very aware of,
conscious of. And I want to go back to real quick to KP, because I thought about a moment in a game last year, and I don't remember who they were playing, but Luka just got fouled. And this is about a month after they had acquired Porzingis, and he ain't going to play.
Right.
And the season's kind of just about Dirk's last year.
Right.
And Luka's kind of playing. It's when Luka was kind of getting in a funk because he was getting tired. And they're out of it. You know, they're out of it. And there was a play in a game that kind of put a light bulb off to me. Like, this guy gives a damn. A, the fact that he was always there.
Right.
You know,
right.
KP.
Yep.
But then Luka got fouled hard. And then KP, and then it's TV timeout, go to break. And KP's on the court. The first guy on the court helps Luka up, and then he's in the ref's face.
Right. Not right. Like, I remember that.
And
yes.
I was like, oh,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's a guy who's excited to be here and bought in. And, you know, at the time, he wasn't signed either. So.
I'm telling you guys, this team is really dialed in with one another and pulled together and cohesive.
I'm wondering if there's a little bit of a Dak and Zeke vibe to 2016, the new energy, just, you know, it's an easy comparison maybe. Just how things, the culture, it's not like they had a bad culture at all. Talking about the Cowboys or the Mavs, not like they had a, but it's just what happens there, anytime you had a refreshing and you're bringing in new bodies.
There is no, and I said this, KT, during, I'm glad you brought that up, because I said this during the 2016 Cowboys season, there is nothing quite like youthful excellence.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is such a jolt to what your franchise is. So you brought up, this is a good segue, let's play these two clips. You brought up his maturity. So the game should not have been close, and it should not have been interesting. But Bradley Beal, who is an all-star, borderline elite-level player, decided, this game sucks, my teammates suck, so I am going to pour every ounce of energy I have into shutting down Luka. I'm going to pick him up at midcourt. I'm going to elbow him in the nuts. He is about to get as aggressive as I can be. I'm going to go attack this human. And it changed the dynamic of the game, and they're going at it. So
the crowd was into it,
The crowd was into it. They were mad. There was a play where Luka crossed up Bradley Beal and his foot barely touched Jalen Brunson, and they called a trip on Brunson. And Luka was outraged because he destroyed Bradley Beal and wanted to get the highlight. People were almost storming the court. It was chaos. So here's the interview with Luka immediately following the game. And keep in mind, we are 3 minutes or 4 minutes of real time removed from Luka at the free throw line with the AAC chanting MVP as he was shooting his free throws. Listen to the interview.
Luka, big game, 34-9. What was it like to be on that free throw line and hear the crowd chanting MVP as you took the line?
That was just amazing, you know. I felt pressure on that one, you know. I had to make those free throws because of them. That was just amazing. My skin was going, I don't know how to say in English. When the skin goes like this, it was just amazing.
You were feeling chills out there. You had a great battle going on with Bradley Beal. It got really intense. What was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just basketball. I know. I like the way he plays. You know, he's obviously offensive, great player, but you see what he can do on defense. So I really, you know, after he got a jacket, he said to me, it's just basketball, you know, and I really appreciate them. You know, it's on the floor, you don't have friends, so it's basketball.
It was a lot of fun to watch. And finally, what was it like being out here in a regular season game with your new buddy Porzingis?
Hey, it was great, you know. We did a great job, not just us two, everybody. Everybody did a great job, and, you know, we just got to keep going like that.
Thanks for the show, man.
Thank you.
All right, so a couple things stand out. Number one, I asked him about Porzingis, and he immediately said everybody.
Yeah.
Dude, he's the star. He knows that, but he's going to make everybody included. Mm-hmm. And did you like what he said about Bradley Beal? He said, yeah. I admire his game. Everybody knows offense. He played defense like that. And he basically was saying that he respected the fact that he came after him like that.
It almost looked like Luka's face, like he clapped and stuff. But it almost looked like Luka didn't want Beal to get ejected.
He did not.
Because
he did not.
He was clapping, and he was like, okay, but like,
yeah.
You could just tell. He was like, dang it, that's not how it was supposed to go down.
He wanted to beat that guy in front of all these people that were chanting MVP and going crazy.
It was so cool when Beal was leaving, and he was pointed at Luka. And then, like, yes. He went over, and he shook the hand of the ref that threw him out, like all that stuff.
And he said something in Luka's ear, which that when that happened, I was standing off to the side, and I didn't see it. Or yeah. I would have asked him, what did he tell you? But I didn't actually see that happen. But
I like Bradley, dude. I mean, like,
he's a baller.
He's awesome.
Okay, so let's hear what Bradley Beal after the game. Tim McMahon caught up with him. Shippy pulled the audio. This is from Tim McMahon's Twitter timeline. Here's what Bradley Beal had to say about all that and had to say about Luka.
It was just hoops. Just hoops. You can see when I got kicked out, he came up and he was the first one to dap me. So he understood what it was. It wasn't, we weren't fighting. You know, it was just basketball, trying to frustrate him. He was kicking our butt. So. Yeah, do something.
What do you think? You know, obviously, he's a young kid who probably has a really bright future. What do you think of kind of his competitiveness and how he handled the challenge when you got up into him?
He did well. I'm not going to speak about everything because I don't want to get in trouble with the refs, but it was, you know, he's very crafty at what he does, you know, and he's very gifted. You know, he has, like you said, he has a bright future, and he's very mature for his age. He's been a pro since he was 10, probably. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And I want to be, like, real clear about that whole scene last night. And, again, I was watching it late. Like, I knew the Mavs had won the game, you know. I was fast-forwarding through it. But I was watching that and I was going, we're not going to see this five more times this year. Like, you rarely see a one-on-one game break out. And yeah, it's kind of what that turned into. And honestly,
and he didn't take any bad shots.
No, he didn't take any bad shots. It was other guys, and you know, this is where Wagner made me mad, because he was coming out and trying to get involved,
right,
and helping on D sometimes.
Right.
Like, dude, just, this is not what this is right now,
right,
dude.
Right, right.
But
let it happen.
He had a couple open threes that he missed,
yep,
that would have got that game to a
they
five
got it
points.
Down, they got it down to seven.
Yeah.
They did get it down to seven.
But like, I just want everyone to understand, like, that, and usually, I mean, you see every Mavs game. We won't see at least 10 times this year a one-on-one game break out in the middle of a fourth quarter
when
of a basketball
matters
game.
And you sure as hell won't see it
awesome
when you're routing a team by 20-something, and then it's like you kind of like quit caring about the game and then yeah, suddenly got real intense again.
It's cool that the crowd saw it and
yes,
recognized what was going on, too.
Yeah, that was a really fun night. Great stuff out at the AAC. Mavericks play against the Pelicans tomorrow night on the road. That's the Pelicans' home opener. I think the Pelicans will be pretty good this year, even with Zion missing 6 or 7 weeks. So
need to go get a win,
game,
though.
Yep.
Stay early. Get it. Let's get it going.
And then Cowboys have bye week Sunday night, 6 o'clock, right. Portland Trail Blazers here. I think that's an early measuring stick game as well. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for rolling with us today live from Pluckers. Come on out and get you some delicious wings. I think Gator's coming out here, my sweet mom, so maybe we'll pop her on the air. But coming up next, we haven't spent enough time talking about this, and with the World Series going on, we need to look at five burning questions for the Rangers, where they might go. We'll do that next on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thank you, Shippy. A couple of quick Cowboy notes before we get to this Rangers stuff. In honor of what's happening with the World Series, by the way, thank you to all the good Tolos that have come out, to the Pluckers and Allen. Just really great vibes. Thank you for rolling out. We'll be at another Pluckers next Thursday, but you still have time to get out here. We're going to be on the air until 2, and I do believe my sweet mother Gator will be coming by. Hopefully we can have her jump on the air. I always love getting her opinion on things. Keep in mind, too, we got some Dak talk coming up. But before we get to this Ranger stuff, KT, a couple of quick Cowboy notes. I'm looking at John Machota. Oh, crap. From The Athletic. Jason Garrett, you heard his press conference here on The Fan. Leighton Vander Esch and Robert Quinn both seem like they're doing well, and they anticipate that both will be returning to practice next week.
Okay.
So there's really nothing troubling on the injury front for the Cowboys moving forward. He's also got a really nice piece on Amari Cooper, which is interesting. Listen to this quote. I want to get your reaction to this from Sanjay Lal. On Amari Cooper, Lal says, he's not elite yet as his coach, not as a fan. As his coach, he's not elite yet. But I want to make clear he can be and he will be. What do you make of that?
I think that's basically, there's a few things in Amari's game that could be improved upon. And I think Sanjay Lal's doing the classic coach speak type thing without, and I'm not, that's not a shot.
No, I hear
clear,
you.
But like, what are some things that Amari could be better at? He could be more consistent. You know, that was always a question for us. The drop thing was a very over-exaggerated narrative. But
we talked about that a lot when we acquired him.
There's still kind of been a thing this year.
Dude, you realize that when we acquired him, think about the narrative, is that he had a lot of drops and he's basically a slot guy.
Yeah.
What?
No, that's not it.
We have not seen that.
No. A few drops.
Yeah, but all receivers have drops.
Absolutely.
And do you think Amari Cooper's had an inordinate amount of drops in the year he's been here?
This year more than last year.
This year more than last year. Gallup is having a drop issue right now.
But just that one game, though, right?
Yeah.
Is there more than just that one game?
He had a drop in the last game.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, dude, again.
I don't even remember it.
A receiver is going to have drops.
Yeah.
The fact that he had three in a game where they were struggling was bad.
So we're kind of talking about Barry Church at the happy hour last night. And he was like, look, he goes, Witten never fumbles. He was like.
Right.
He was like, that Saints game, like.
Zeke couldn't fumble either.
And Barry also had some things to say about the defense. He goes, yeah, you wanted to get turnovers. He goes, but they do come in bunches. You get four of them and you go from 25th in the league to 15th in the league.
Right.
You know, and it's a really good point.
And like, he was on that Jacksonville team that had a lot of turnovers that year.
He also had some good comments. And again, this is not, I'm going to do it in a way that kind of, when he said it, it wasn't anything that I went, oh, he just shocked the world. That's why I didn't pull the audio here. But I did think it was interesting. I said, what happened? That 17 year, you guys go to the AFC Championship game. And what happened last year? And he goes, we were feeling ourselves too much, man. They thought they were badass.
You got
to go. They were picked by many to go win that thing.
You got to stay thirsty like a guy on IG.
And these NFL teams change so much. The Cowboy team that played Philadelphia on October, what was that? Was it 21st, 3 days ago, 5 days ago?
Yep.
19th, whenever,
yep.
The 20th.
Yep.
Sunday night. Both teams are going to look so different on December 22nd when they play in week 16 for what could be a playoff spot, the division title.
Mm-hmm.
Very well could be. And that's how the game changes. Football's crazy now, especially with injuries. As Jerry's always talking about injury attrition and all that stuff. So, you know, I don't know how I feel about, looking at, like, just Amari. Really, this – I don't have like a one long-term concern about this team other than really not investing in a big one technique defensive tackle.
Yep.
Because these little things that we react to week after week, whether it be Amari Cooper with a fumble or Gallup's drops or the run defense gets gashed 1 week, like, look at their numbers. Their defense holds up.
Teams aren't scoring on them. And
they're the number one third down offense and the number two third down defense in football.
That's a good way
they're
to
win. They're a good
games.
Team who should be better than 4-3.
Right.
And that's where I think it gets a little more frustrating because that immediately goes back to the current regime.
Mm-hmm.
And by regime, I mean Jason Garrett.
Of course.
And it all goes back to there, and I don't know if it should, but that's the nature of it, I guess.
It is. And the nature of the we talk about this, and I know it's the case, and I fall guilty to it, just the nature of overreacting to an NFL game.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing to do in the whole world. We'll get back into some Cowboy talk here in 15 minutes, KT, but thinking about the World Series, thinking about how far away the Rangers are from that type of baseball, let's at least explore the road to get back to it. Let's get into some burning questions regarding the Rangers.
So Evan Grant wrote this article, and I'm also going to incorporate an article from Levi Weaver of The Athletic as well. One thing that Evan kind of wrote is one thing that they really got to do, they have two glaring needs. They desperately need a third baseman, a right-handed hitting third baseman.
Right.
And they need another top-tier starter. All right? And I think we all know that, and we immediately go Anthony Rendon, Gerrit Cole. Everyone salivate. Well,
Have $80 million to throw around?
I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I'm exaggerating. Well, do you have $65 million to throw around?
Well, let's look at it. Over the long term, do you have $300 million to throw down for a player?
Right.
I think that's the way I kind of look at it. And I think, like, I don't know. Like, it could be a thing where these players are going to choose where they want to go. So I've never been a fan of getting mad at a team for not getting a guy that you wanted in free agency.
Right.
Now, if it is strictly because of budget issues, like strictly because they're not spending as much as they should.
Like Torrey Hunter was on the show with us on Tuesday at Tender saying he wanted to be a Ranger and Tom Hicks came up with the alligator arms.
Absolutely. But that
he didn't
that's
say
fine.
It in a mean way, by the way.
No.
He wasn't criticizing Hicks, but we all know what that time period was like. Torrey Hunter should have been a Ranger.
At the end of the day, if Anthony Rendon gets a $250 million offer from the Rangers or the Angels and he wants to go to California and play for the Angels.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what to.
So be
I
it.
I can't be mad about that.
Right.
You know? And
that was
once we get in those upper millions, that money becomes kind of the same thing.
That was the Danny Green thing.
Yeah.
I hope people were listening that day when I didn't give Danny Green hell at all. I was like, Danny Green just took the same amount of money, if not a tiny bit more, to go live in Los Angeles and play with LeBron in the Brow. How are you going to be mad about that?
He did what's best for him.
Yes.
Right? So before,
and for winning, too.
So in a minute, we're going to talk about some other pitchers that they could go after.
Okay.
First of all, another question from Evan. Which left-handed hitter doesn't fit? Here's the list. We're keeping Gallo, right? No worries about that. Willie Calhoun, who will be at Texas Live on Saturday for
That'd
fan anniversary.
Great. Yep.
Nomar Mazara and Chu. So three guys for two outfield spots and the DH.
You can pick one of those three guys. Who do you pick? Money isn't an issue.
Well, Chu has one more year left. So, if I could pick to have on the roster, matter what? Oh, Calhoun.
Right? All day, every day, and it's not even
Calhoun's
close.
Calhoun's skill set is rare. I mean,
he is a hitter.
He's not going to strike out, and he's going to hit the ball and put it in play. I mean, I love Willie Calhoun, and he showed that he could improve a little bit defensively as well. So,
Only problem is that he's Gary Patterson height. If he can just get a little taller.
He got a good butt, though. He got a little big butt, so he can put a little strength in getting the home run. So, Willie Calhoun's a guy I have no interest in trading unless, I get blown away.
Yeah,
because I think that's a perfect counterpiece to having a guy like Gallo in your lineup who will strike out a lot.
Right.
Well, if I got one guy that strikes out a lot, I don't need a lot of other strikeout guys. I know I'll have a few, but... And this is where, it's too early to judge Ronald Guzman and what he brings you defensively. You're going to need a little bit of offense from that position, most likely, but... Like, Mazar's the guy. Mazar's the frustrating guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's got worlds of potential, an unlimited upside, and I sit here and go, I think he's always going to be that.
Yeah. I think you might be right.
Because this...
Although I can totally buy into the whole Nomar Mazar is going to be Nelson Cruz routine.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want the consistency, I mean, that's the biggest argument people have about Rugi is he's just inconsistent. He's going to go up for four, and he's going to have two home runs the next night.
But, his swings of inconsistency last for weeks.
They last for weeks. That's the problem. That's the problem. And Nomar's do, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, Levi wrote an article. It was called The 26 Pitchers the Rangers Could Sign.
Oh, my God. That sounds exhausting.
I'm not going to run through all of it, but the Tier 1 guys.
Yes.
Because you're going to get some names that you're going to go, whoa. Madison Bumgarner. Now, I'm kind of out on that because he's old. But as Levi wrote, if he's demanding what he made in 2013 and 2016, obviously no. But now, with the heavy workload, a big track record, but he's just country guy.
That'd like me bringing in Cliff Lee, wouldn't it?
He kind of wants to ride the horse around and stuff.
How old is Madison Bumgarner?
He's getting up there, my man.
Dude, when we got Cliff Lee, he was 31, right? And we had him for a half season.
Yeah, Madison's 30.
That would be. But I would totally be bringing.
It feels
in Cliff
like
Lee.
He's over the hill, you know. So he also throws out the name Yu Darvish if he opted out. So if Yu Darvish, who lives here.
Why would Yu Darvish opt out?
To come back home.
I mean, dude, do you realize how much money he's making?
$481
He ain't opting out.
What would you pay him here?
$10
You paid $10 million?
Yeah.
Well, I'd give probably $12 to $15
Okay, you know what? You can talk me into $12 He ain't getting $15 out there. Go look at, dude.
I don't know.
And
man.
I realize he had a good end of this year. Go look at the last 4-year snapshot of the Yu Darvish.
No, I know. The injury is there. But here he is from July 1st to the end of the season. He struck out 124.
Wait, give me the date. When did this?
July 1st.
Okay.
To the end of the season.
Yep.
So take out the first 3 months of the season.
Right.
And he struck out 124
guys. And in the
previous
2 years.
Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
He walked just 7 guys. So
really?
88 innings, he struck out 124 and walked 7.
That's bonkers.
He
I didn't realize it was that good.
He was elite.
Yeah, that's elite.
He was ace
and
Darvish.
He's been elite before. And then you get him, and then suddenly there's a thing, and you can't even play
him. What if Garrett Cole sets this crazy market, though, and his agent goes, look, I think I could get you 5 at 120 or 4 at I think I could get you 5 at. I mean, he's got 4.
I need you to take a huge step back here.
Hey, I'm having fun.
Okay, you have fun, but this is crazy talk. How old is Yu Darvish? 32.
He's way up there, bud. I'm not trying to sign him.
He ain't opting out of 4 and 81.
What if he took 4? What if he took 3 at 75?
Who in the F is giving him that?
A team that needs another pitcher in their
rotation.
What
year is it? Like. KT, I don't think he can get. I don't think he can get 3 and 60.
Really?
I think he would be hard pressed to get 3 at 45.
Boy, I don't know, man. Just go watch the tape of those last 3 months.
Let me pull up his last 4 years of people being frustrated.
I don't need to see it. Hey, I'm just playing radio here, man. I'm trying to sex up this rotation.
You're freaking everybody out there.
I'm trying to sex up the rotation.
Quit sexing everything up.
Now, middle of the rotation pitchers.
Yep.
How interested would you be in 36-year-old local resident Cole Hamels?
Interesting. Are you trying to give him 3 at 75?
No.
Oh, okay. What is that? What are they?
He made 20 last year.
He ain't making 20.
The market's going up.
Cole Hamels?
Yeah.
I just can't see someone paying a 34-year-old guy.
I mean, no one's going to give him 5 years, but it ain't like he's not going to go get decent money. Same last year with that 3.81 ERA.
Pretty salty.
140 innings, so he missed a few starts. He got hurt. He'll get hurt, so he'll be a 28 start guy.
I'm way on board with bringing Cole Hamels back. I think he's a good guy.
How much you willing to throw in there?
At 34, I'll do...
3 at 45?
No, I was going to say I'd do 2 at 30.
2 at 40?
I'd do 2 at 32.
If you go fewer years and more money?
I'll do 2 at 32.
Can I get you at 2 at 36?
Man, what's the rest of my... How else is that impacting
me?
Well,
I've got Minor and Lynn and Hamels. And now I just need two guys. I need two diamonds in the rough.
I'll do 2 at 36 for Hamels if you can tell me I also get Rendon.
I can't tell you that.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I don't think they're going to get Rendon or Cole. Like, if we're being smart,
right?
I never think our team is going to win the championship. The odds are not in your favor. There's 30 teams here. You're going to be one of them.
Man, that's so sad.
Maybe it narrows down because there will be 10 interested teams.
Right.
And I'm not trying to kill it, like any hopes and dreams. I'm just saying.
No. You're being a realist.
They need to sign a pitcher.
Yeah. No, I agree, but I don't want to go overpay a 34-year-old guy.
Well, who are the names other than Garrett Cole?
Okay, listen to this. Hold on. The rumors were that, we don't want to give Mike Minor a 3-year deal. I mean,
why would they not?
I would.
I would too.
But I just think the idea is that once you get on the other side of 30. The wallet shrink dramatically unless you are...
I think workload matters.
Yeah.
Minor doesn't have heavy workload.
No, I think that's
Hamels
fair.
Does.
Dude, absolutely. I'm on board. You know, I'm on board with keeping Mike Minor. I killed the Rangers when they gave him that money instead of, who was it, Cashner at the time?
Yeah.
And I was way wrong.
And
I should shut up. I was way wrong. But now that you have him, he, to me, at the money you could sign him for, I don't see any reason you wouldn't keep him.
And I want people to be clear what I'm saying. I'm not saying bring back the old Rangers. I'm not doing that.
Why are you trying to sign Napoli?
No, the people go, well, we had Darvish and we had Hamels and it never worked out. No, that's not the point.
Right.
The point is you got two guys in your rotation right now.
Right.
And I need another guy or two. And we're probably not going to get Garrett Cole.
No, we're not.
I would like to get him.
We're going to try.
But you're probably not.
We're going to end up being sweaty tryhards on the Garrett Cole front.
Yeah.
Hey, that was good, though, KT. I like that. It got me thinking about a lot of possibilities. I hadn't even really considered bringing Cole Hamels back, but I wouldn't be opposed to that at the right
moment. What about Ryu of the Dodgers? I don't think we have time for that. I was hoping you would ignore it like you normally do and go to break.
Coming up during the commercial break, we'll get into the Ryu situation. But before we do that... We're going to talk about Frankel, and then right after that, we're going to talk about Dak Prescott. We got some numbers that'll get you really fired up about what's happening with Dak Prescott. Where is he on the quarterback tiers? We'll do that next.
Let's give away some money right now. The Turn It On, Leave It On National Cash Contest continues. Each hour, we're giving you a chance to win $1,000. All you have to do is text the word of the hour to 72881, and the word of this hour is dinner. D-I-N-N-E-R.
I love dinner.
Which is something that you can have at Pluckers. We're at the Pluckers at Allen. It is the Ben and Skin Show. Ben is out today. Me, KT, with Skin. Obviously, Shippy back at the station as well. And we'll give away $1,000 in our national cash contest in the next hour as well. Got some around the NFL stuff. Would the Cowboys be interested in bringing in this troubled wide receiver? We'll talk about that at 1. But I want to start out with a couple things before we get back into this quarterback tier update thing.
Okay.
I ran across this on Reddit. Big fan of Reddit. One of my favorite websites.
Yeah, and Reddit.
It's an information. It's really. This Reddit is the website that can take you to the deepest, darkest holes of the internet.
Right.
But also can show you the brightest spots as well.
While it's ruining your life, it can show you joy.
It's the full spectrum of the internet.
Shout out to my friends at Reddit Mavs. Good people.
Good people over there. Well, how about your friends at Reddit Cowboys?
Oh, okay. I'm a little less familiar with those good folks.
So they made a custom leaderboard from Pro Football Reference, and it's looking at Dak's stats since he entered the league.
Okay.
So we've talked a lot about his stats this year and how he's doing well. How does it, you know?
The entirety of the three and almost a half-year career now.
Yeah. Game started 55. That is tied for first. Okay?
Durability with is four. Good with this man.
It's so good with that man, and you need that because it was not good with the last man and his late years.
Because he got destroyed when they didn't have an offensive line.
Yeah, sucks. Completion percentage. 67% if we're rounding up. That is fourth.
Wow.
All right. How about total yards? That's a thing he got knocked on a lot.
I bet he's in the top 10.
Wasn't that a thing? Dak not going to throw for 300 yards.
Yeah.
13,000 yards. Ninth.
Okay. Hanging so in the top 10.
Right there for a running, when an offense that's running based.
Yes. And then, you know, obviously playing in all those games helps those numbers as well. But
touchdowns.
I bet he's seventh.
He is 11th with 79.
Oh, damn it, Kevin.
Interceptions.
He's 29th.
He's 7th with 32.
Like, it's 7th fewest?
7th fewest.
Oh, that's great.
That's really good.
That's great.
It's very Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
It's very Russell Wilson.
So Russ.
Passer rating.
Is that the one that goes to 147 or whatever?
I don't know.
I get that in QBR mixed
up. It's 96.9, and he is 7th.
Okay.
Okay. Average net yards per attempt. I like this stat. Because I think this stat shows a quarterback's willingness to throw the ball down the field.
Yes, yeah, so
I think this stat is an indication of a guy who can see things in a defense and can read the field and see things down the field.
Okay.
Average net yards per attempt, 6.75, ninth. This year, average net yards per attempt, I know he's top five.
Yeah, I think he's top three,
right? He may be number one, even. Winning percentage.
Oh, it's got to be super high. I bet it's
third.
Is it? It's third?
Third. It's 65%.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. He had a 13-3 record. Had the one bad year, was 9-7. That was the bad year.
Tom Brady, 82% at number one.
God,
he doesn't ever lose. Game-winning drives.
Yep.
Tied for first.
Is he really?
14 of them.
God, that's awesome.
Now let's go to his worst stat. His worst stat is yards per game at 236. He's 18th in the league since he joined it.
Yep.
Attempts per game.
Wait, where is he ranked worst?
18th.
Oh, 18th. I'm sorry.
But
I misheard that.
He's also 21st since he's been in the league in attempts per game.
21st in attempts per game.
Yeah.
18th in yards.
So he was throwing the ball 31 times. Hey, there's a guy in a Josie record shirt.
Yeah, I was really distracted by him.
Yeah.
How about that Luka Doncic, Bradley Beal respect?
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Got
this
a big Luka fan.
This is probably so. Basically, well, the point is he's really good.
No, he's I mean those stats are
numbers
incredible.
Like oh here they are, but I think it's good when you take it out and look at all.
Are you okay? Like, what's your opinion on giving win percentage? A lot of people get really upset over that.
I mean,
how dare you mention that? It's not a quarterback stat.
No, it's important. It's not the end all be all.
Is it a pitcher stat?
It's way different than that. I've never understood the correlation of a starting pitcher getting wins and the quarterback getting wins. Quarterback getting wins is totally different.
How different
starting
is
pitcher
it?
Getting wins. Well, quarterback's controlling the game for all four quarters. The starting pitcher is turning it over to other people.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback is starting that game and handling it for all four quarters.
I think
starting pitcher is letting can these other guys,
right.
Can Cooper Rush and these guys who aren't good enough to be starting pitchers come in and save the day?
Right.
I mean, that's what that is. It's a weird stat, man.
Are you okay with point guards getting one loss record?
I don't like that. Not a big fan of that. I'm also not a big fan of plus minus. So you know.
Individual or collective?
Individual.
Okay.
So back to the quarterback tiers that we did an hour ago. Basically, Mike Sando at The Athletic, 55 coaches and executives, and they talk about their quarterback tiers.
Yep.
Dak was a 3.
These are the quarterbacks that cry the most.
Rodgers was a 1. He was top of the list. He's still a number 1. This is what one evaluator said off. He said, he goes, I don't think he's fallen off. He's still very good. I think teams are doing more to corral him in the pocket, and they're doing more to get rid of the ball quickly, and they're saving his scrambling for late in games, kind of like Russell Wilson does
right,
now.
Right, right.
You know,
he's got to pick and choose.
One coach said Rodgers is the only one in the league who can carry his entire team on his back with unproven talent. And my God, are we seeing that right now? Because without Davante Adams, Marcus Valdes-Scantling's been hurt. Geronimo Allison, the number three, who should not be a number three, hurt. I heard guys like named Alan the Lizard Lazard out there, and he caught a pass with his dong the other day.
I defer to you on all things Packers, but I just didn't even come close to comprehending the Aaron Rodgers doesn't have it anymore thing.
Yeah.
It didn't compute with me at all.
Kirk Cousins entered the league a high three, entered the year a high three, much like Dak did.
Mm-hmm.
Projected now to be a 2-3 fringe guy.
Okay.
Okay.
More on the two side or more on the three side? Go Cowboys, sir.
Yes, sir. Go Cowboys. One executive said, I don't think there's really anything different with him. I think he's the same guy as he was in Washington. It's just kind of who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, one guy on our station that really is to me, I would crown him as the ultimate Kirk Cousins defender. Is
Jared Sandler.
Yeah, J-Bone Sandler. Tonight they're going to take on Washington. You're not going to get much out of that game, you know, of knowing what he is. I think Cowboys-Vikings in a couple weeks on Sunday Night Football is going to be
spectacular,
thrilling.
Yep, I can't wait.
Because they're dangerous, and we'll see if Thielen, how bad his hamstring is hurt, but I think that's going to be really cool. Mitch Trubisky.
Ah, yes.
Low three, he's now projected to be a four next year.
Oh, dear.
And it sucks when Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes were taken after you.
It's a tough one.
And that's something.
Was that the number three pick in the draft? Number two? How high did he go?
Number two. They traded up to get him.
Yep.
And I was the only one in the world who knew it.
You broke that story.
Yeah. An executive said they could have a real problem here because this is year three of him and he's not progressing. Okay? You can't just say an offensive lineman's out and whatever. They haven't done anything on offense all year long.
Can you imagine how bad Khalil Mack hates him?
So I had a dinner with a few guys the other night. We were just kind of talking sports, right?
Lovers?
And one guy came up with the idea of, man, if the Bears are going to stick with Kyle Allen, I mean, if the Panthers are going to stick with Kyle Allen, the Bears should probably trade for Cam Newton.
Interesting.
1 year. Buy yourself some time.
They wouldn't even have to trade for him, though. They could probably just – if you're not –
I mean, you'd give him a pick, but –
yeah, but what I'm saying is you could...
The Panthers aren't going to trade Cam Newton for nothing.
No, I think they're going to waive him.
No, I think they're just going to keep him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd rather
and then cut him next year.
I'd rather have the $20 million. Oh, you're talking about trade for him right now.
Yeah, trade for him right now.
Okay.
Right now.
Interesting.
Because this is what I was saying earlier. The Bears and the Rams are two December games before the Eagles for the Cowboys.
Right.
And those are teams who scare me because they are currently scratching and clawing to stay alive. And they're going to be wild card teams, and they're going to be fighting their balls off to get in.
Dude, there's nothing easy in the end. I mean, it's cliche, but easy games are hard games, you know.
Oh my
and so,
gosh.
Especially at the end. By the way, Gator and Papa just walked in with my wife, so that's a pretty big party right there.
Last one here. Then we're going to go talk to Gator. Dak, high three. Now is projected to be a 2-3, it said.
Uh-huh.
This is what an evaluator said. He said he had an opportunity those first three games to play great against bad defenses, and he did. In my opinion, he is not naturally accurate. When things tighten up, he has games like he did against the Jets. I think he's a middle-of-the-road guy that's always going to be up and down. I can't disagree with this evaluator more because that Jets game, to me, was a promising sign in the future of Dak.
Did he have a plus 11% expected completion percentage?
He did. He got his head knocked off the entire game, and their third down percentage was immaculate because the offense continued to put them in bad positions by running the ball so much on first and second down, setting up third and eights, and he was getting through it without Amari Cooper.
So they have him as a tier two now?
2-3 still.
I disagree. I think he's a high two.
Here's what another evaluator said. When you have a first-time offensive coordinator and say he's going to change your 26-year-old quarterback for the better, I can't buy into that. He said, I can't put all the stuff they have going on Dak. I don't know. I mean, Dak's better than he's getting credit for right now, I think.
Yep.
And that's going to be the case. And then he's going to get paid, and everyone's going to say he's not good enough.
Right.
That's just the world he lives in
That's the world he lives in. All right, let's do this, KT. Coming up next, let's pop Gator on. My mom just walked in. We'll throw Gator on. We also have some NBA Western Conference stuff to get to, some around the NFL stuff. All that's coming up next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.